Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
I'm going to be back in Revelation chapter 17 tonight. I do want to go back and pick up at about verse 4. And continue on with some thoughts that carried us through last Sunday. Because when we get into verse 8 and start moving toward verse 14 in the end of the chapter, we get into some clarification and some explanation of some things. But before we just jump right into the explanations, I want to make sure that we have our hearts and our minds fully wrapped around everything that's going on with understanding Babylon and understanding the picture, the image, and who Babylon really is, and understanding exactly what Babylon is going to stand for and what Babylon is going to be doing to humanity on the face of the earth. So chapter 17, I'm going to begin with verse 4 tonight. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns. May God add blessing to the reading of His Word. And if you're going to be following along in your study guide tonight, I'm going to be on page 105, and we're going to be able to move with the second message of Babylon tonight. We're going to be able to leave tonight, hopefully, with a much clearer and a full, well-rounded understanding of Babylon. We see, first of all, tonight that this woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet as colors, and she was decked with gold and with precious stones. But we also have to understand that this woman is the picture. Babylon is the picture and is being given as an image as a prostitute, as a woman that is very immoral, a woman that is selling herself, and a woman that is actually prospering in this process. We see first tonight that there is the apparel of the harlot. From our text, we see the woman was clothed again in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones. You know, when we think about or see images and pictures on television of prostitutes, they dress in such a way as to attract attention to themselves. They put the clothes on, they put the makeup on. They dress in such a way where they want to draw an attention to themselves. And that is the way Babylon, the religion, the false religion of this day is going to be. It is going to be put together and presented in such a way that it is going to draw the attention of all that the religion is put in front of. And that's going to be everyone around the world. Babylon is going to be no different. John saw this religion being represented as a woman clothed in purple and scarlet, which are the colors of royalty, prosperity, nobility, and wealth. So when people see this religion, they're going to think that there's something prosperous there. They're going to think that there is something that is royal, something that has some significance and some meaning to it. Something that is noble. It is going to be something that is presented to people for that they're going to feel like, hey, this is something I want to be a part of. They're going to think that this religion is something that's going to be very meaningful in their life, and it is going to bring about wealth. Now, when we stop and we think about religion today, it doesn't take much flipping through the TV channels to see some of these folks pushing wealth in their preaching and in their teaching. If you'll do this, God will bless you with this much money. If you'll do that, God will bless you with so much money. If you'll follow, if you'll buy my book, God will bless you with so much wealth. We are seeing the groundwork of this religion Babylon being laid today in our lifetime. And that is something that should be and is very frightening tonight to me. When I look at the television and I look at the messages that are being preached on the television, and the reason I'm picking on television tonight is because, let's be honest, it's easy to sit at home. It's easy to sit at home in your comfortable attire, whether it's your pajamas or whatever you're lounging around the house in, take the remote control and flip around and find something that gives you a warm, fuzzy feeling on the inside and just sit there and soak it up. It's very easy to do that tonight. And there are a lot of people that are doing it, and they're doing it under the auspice of saying, well, it's the same thing of me going to church. What's the difference of me sitting here and me sitting in church? It's the same thing. No, it isn't. It isn't the same thing. I'll say this tonight. A preacher that is preaching from a genuine, legitimate church and is televising those messages either on television or on the internet, and it is going into the homes of people who are homebound, and the going into the nursing homes and going into the hospitals where those people cannot make it to church, it is doing a good work. It is being blessed of God, and it is touching hearts and lives, and it is making something meaningful in the hearts of people. But folks that just choose to not come to church so they can stay home in the comforts of their home and dress in however they want to dress, and they're fooling themselves by saying this is just as good and just as important. No, it isn't. God saves us to be the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is assembled together in locations and in congregations, and is assembled together in love and in adoration of God and of each other, and we work together as the body of Christ into the community. That is the picture and the structure of the church in the New Testament. And this Babylon, this false religion Babylon, is going to take advantage of that, and this false religion Babylon is going to, it's going to build upon this, and it's going to enforce it, and it's going to do it in such a way that people are just going to flock to it. Babylon is going to be something people want to be a part of. Remember I told you with the 666, it's going to be something people want. They're going to desire it. They're going to line up and they're going to say, give it to me, I want it. It's going to be the same thing with this false religion. People are going to be lining up. And they're going to be lining up because they haven't heard and haven't listened to and haven't embraced the inerrant Word of God. They've ignored the truth. They have taken and they have embraced a lie. Well, we see not only the colors, but we see that there is gold and precious stones and pearls. And it portrays this religion as something that is attractive. And it has been put together and it has been sold and it has been marketed very successfully to people. And folks become extremely wealthy from it. People who align themselves with it, it's alignment. And when we study it, when we think about it, and we put it all together into a very realistic perspective, folks today are making millions and millions of dollars off of religion. Not off of Christianity. Not off of bringing Jesus into the hearts and lives of people. But they're making millions and millions of dollars off of religion. It's already taking place. And this same thing is just going to get deeper and get bigger and get broader as we go down the road heading into the tribulation. Well, now that we see the attraction of the harlot, let's take a few minutes tonight and let's look at the abominations of the harlot. We see those abominations as having in her hand a cup of gold, full of abominations in that cup and full of unclean things, full of immoralities. That gold cup symbolizes the prostitute who wants to take everything from their victims. Think about that sin of prostitution just a moment. Is that not what those men and those women, and make no mistake, today the world is full of men prostitutes, just like it is full of women prostitutes, because the world is full of the immorally sick and perverted people who will pay for that sensuality from either sex. But do they not also want to destroy people? Do they not also seek to make ruin of people's lives? When you find someone that has been exposed as to have dealing with prostitutes and dealing with women that are involved in these immoral lifestyles and men that are involved in these immoral lifestyles, what follows it immediately upon them being exposed? It is the destruction of their credibility, the destruction of their character. Oftentimes, when they are caught in sting operations or in some of these other things, when they're caught like that, they will wind up having to move away to other towns and other parts of the nation in order to start fresh and in order to start new again and hope that it doesn't happen again. Babylon is going to be like that prostitute. Babylon, that religion, is going to take everything the victims have. And when we look at the idea of religion, especially a false religion, that's exactly what it does in the lives of those who align themselves with it and who embrace it. It makes them feel good for a while. It makes them feel welcomed for a while. It makes them feel loved. It makes them feel wanted for a little while. But then when it is all said and done, it has robbed them. It has robbed them of their character. It has robbed them of their credibility. It has robbed them of their hope. It has robbed them of their faith. It has robbed them of their ability to be confident in anything that may be true. I have talked to people who have came out of false religions. I have counseled with them. And one of the greatest problems all of them have is the ability to trust. It is the ability to trust even in Jesus Christ. They will tell me, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that now that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, but I have been hurt, I have been burned, I've been through so much that I really just don't know when or if I'm going to be able to trust. That's happening today. That is happening today in our little rural county. And if it's happening today in this little rural county, imagine what's happening in bigger towns. Imagine what's happening in bigger population areas. It's going to get worse. As we move into and close to the tribulation, it's going to get much worse. It's going to get more obvious. And it's going to be more accepted because people are going to be more deceived. Why will they be more deceived? Because more often and more often and more often they're moving away from and avoiding the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. They're avoiding the truth of the inerrant Word of God. They're avoiding it because, hey, it just don't match my lifestyle. Tonight, we want a gospel that says it's okay to go live a gay and lesbian lifestyle. We want a gospel that says it's okay to be a transsexual tonight. We want a gospel that says it's okay for me to live in any immoral manner I want to live in. We want a gospel that says I can carry around in my heart anything I want to carry around, and I don't have to worry about the conviction of the Holy Spirit and being submissive to God. We want a gospel tonight that says God is going to come to me, and God is going to worship me, and God is going to take care of me, and God is going to look at me. We want a me-centered gospel tonight. That's what the world is seeking. That's what a lot of people have left the church for, because the idea of the church just don't cater to me. The church just don't meet my needs. The church don't meet my expectations. Folks, it's not the church's place to meet the personal expectations of everyone who walks through the door. When we join a church, we join the church as a born-again, blood-bought child of God, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It is us that should be taking the role of the servant as Jesus exemplified in the Gospels with the washing of the feet. We should be filling the basin of water. We should be finding a towel. We should be finding those dirty people with those dirty feet. We should be taking that role of that servant. That should be what we desire to do, being the one that's looking for others to serve. But we're me-centered. Too many of us are me-centered. And in the process, we're looking for what God is going to do for me instead of what I can do for God. We are setting ourselves up to be victims tonight. And understand, when I say we, that is a very general term that speaks to those who are following and seeking Babylon. Those who are being enticed by Babylon tonight. Maybe that's not you personally. Maybe I'm preaching to the choir with that one particular point, but it helps. You need to understand the gravity and the depth and the breadth of the deception and of the sin that is out there and how it is affecting folks. And hey, it may be even affecting someone in your family and in your household tonight. It helps to walk out of church prepared by understanding the false religion of Babylon. Well, we see that this gold cup is full of abomination and it's full of unclean things. It's full of immorality. There was a French scholar named Salvaret, and he wrote concerning the occult science that these things tell that the drinking of the cup tells of the drinking in connection with demonic ceremonies. To drink of mysterious beverages, he says, was indispensable on the part of all who sought initiation in these mysteries. These mysterious beverages were often composed of wines and honey and water and flour and various other ingredients that would come locally from where they were put together. From the nature of the ingredients avowedly used and from the nature of others that were not avowed, but certainly used, there can be no doubt that they were an intoxicating beverage. They were an intoxicating drink. Until the aspirants, those taking part in it, had come under their power, they would drink it until they would be so intoxicated, they would be so inebriated, they would have hallucinations, and their minds and their hearts would be opened up to all kinds of demonic spirits. Their passions would be excited by the medication that was put inside of them. They weren't prepared for what they were going to experience, what they were going to hear, what they were going to see. It is believed by many today that drugs such as LSD and heroin, they do much more to a person than just put them into a state of hallucinogenic images and a state of drunkenness. They actually open the heart and the mind to spirits that are moving around, to demonic spirits folks, during the days that are coming upon us when the Babylon religion is going to be taking front and center in the future, there is no telling what is out there. That's why it is called a mystery. We see that it is written on her forehead, the name. Well, do you realize tonight that in the Roman Empire, it was very popular and also very pronounced for prostitutes to wear a headband that had their name engraved on that headband? Yes, prostitution was not only legal in the Roman Empire, it was something that was heralded, and folks wanted to know who these people were. They were used a lot. These women and these men that were prostitutes in this day, they were used a lot. Their services were paid for a lot. Give me a sign. Give me an image. Give me a billboard. Show me something that will let me know who you are. And they would have it on a headband wrapped around their head. Folks desired it that vividly and that boldly in the day when the religion of Babylon is going to be taking place in the future. People are going to desire it that boldly. They're going to want to see something that's going to point me, give me a sign, point me in the direction where I can be involved in this. Since it is a mystery, though, we do see that it's previously undisclosed. Previously undisclosed. In your book, at the bottom of the page, under verse 5, it says by mystery that a New Testament mystery is a truth once hidden, but in the New Testament it is revealed. Spiritual Babylon's true identity has yet to be revealed. Thus, the precise details of how it's going to be manifest are not yet known. But we do know enough from God's Word to realize that it's coming. And we have enough from God's Word to realize when it comes around, it's going to be very, very wicked. It's going to be very, very evil. It's going to be very, very intoxicating for people. It's going to be something that is going to have an allure and an appeal to those who are not saved. So Babylon, the city that spawned the system, going back to Babel, we covered that last week, going back to Babel from the very beginning. That system that corrupted the entire world with false religion. We go back to that very same person, that very same system in the future that's going to come after people, that's going to come after their souls. It's going to come after their destruction. It's not just going to look for the destruction of an individual common man, but it's going to look for the destruction of nations and governments and all people. Well, we have looked at the abomination of the harlot. Now let's look at the accusation of the harlot. The accusation of a harlot is found in verse 6. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints. It is an indictment, a graphic indictment for her murderous persecution of God's people. Babylon as a religion, as a false religion, is not only going to be drawing people in deceptively, but Babylon is going to be pursuing the destruction and the death of Christians. Yes, in that day when it says that she is going to be drunk with the blood of the saints, there are still going to be people being saved. So I know often the question keeps coming about out of the tribulation, will there be people saved? Yes, there will be people saved during the tribulation period. It will be a very ugly time. It will be a very bloody time for Christians, for those who give their hearts and lives to Jesus. But yes, there will be people that will be saved, but they will have a target on them. They will be a target. They will be searched down. They will be hunted for murder. And it will be such a hunt. It will be such a persecution that it will actually be a lust for violence pointed out and taken back to the Christian. There will be so much of it. There will be so much of it that this religion of Babylon will have the effect of being drunk with the blood of those that are martyred for Jesus Christ. We hear a lot of that going on in other areas of the world tonight, where Muslims will go into Christian villages, and they will kill, they will rape, they will pillage. They will leave nothing but ashes and smoke and dust and dead bodies and blood when they leave. And we're thankful that we're not living in those areas tonight where we have to tolerate that. But when we look at that and we see those images on television or on the internet or wherever we're seeing them, we have to remember, I ask you to remember, think ahead to what we're studying tonight and what God's Word is revealing to us tonight. The day is coming when every Christian around the world will be faced with that very same possibility. The vision that John was given was so grand, it was so great, that it was confusing. It was confusing. As a matter of fact, he says, "And I marveled. I wondered with great admiration." He was in awe with it. He was in awe with it. He stood there shocked and frightened. He was taken back. He could not understand and he could not see and the death and the destruction. He couldn't comprehend the hatred toward the Jesus that he knew personally. The Jesus that healed the sick. The Jesus that opened blinded eyes. The Jesus that made lame legs to walk. The Jesus that resurrected Lazarus. The Jesus who fed the thousands. The Jesus who done nothing to hurt anyone. The Jesus who gave his life so that others could have eternal life. And John stood there and John asked the question to himself. Why? Why? And I realize tonight many of us ask that same question. Why? And I wish I could answer it. But all I can say is what we find within God's Word is the graphic picture of what's taking place in the tribulation period. And a warning that comes to the church. A warning that says, stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay close to Him and seek His direction. Seek the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit in the things that we do. Love God and love one another.